Good morning. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. This morning we're going to look at verses 6 through 15. If you picked up a Bible on your way in, that's on page 1183, Colossians chapter 2. As you're turning there, a thanks on behalf of the Free Church for welcoming us. Again this morning, we're glad to be here and to worship God together with you. It's something we look forward to at the end of each year, to be able to worship together with our friends here at Dunfermline East. And so thank you for welcoming us and for welcoming me to be able to open God's Word to us this morning. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. This is God's Word to us, His people, this day. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having dismissed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. God's Word for us. Let's pray together. Father, we pray now that as we come to Your Word, that You might help us as we seek to understand more of who You are, more of who we are, and more of how we might live for Your honor and for Your glory, how we might lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. And so help us this morning, we pray, as we look into Your Word. We ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Just a show of hands. Anybody make resolutions for the new year? Anyone? One person? Anybody given up making resolutions for the new year because you know they only last at best a day, sometimes maybe a week? It's that time of year, though, isn't it? It's that period between Christmas, after the thrill of Christmas and the giving and all of the things and celebrating the birth of Jesus, and the new year, when our minds begin to think of what comes next, what's going to happen in this year ahead, what do I want to change, perhaps? Perhaps you've made resolutions in the past that you're going to eat healthier. You're going to exercise some, and by some, maybe once a month. You say you're going to join the gym. You're going to have more frequent quiet times with God. You're going to pray more. Or maybe you've said to yourself, you know, I'm going to do it. Starting on, when's New Year's Day? Wednesday. Starting Thursday, then, starting on Wednesday, that sin that I've struggled with for this year, or maybe for years, I'm finally going to beat it. I'm going to stop doing that thing that God has said that I know I'm not supposed to do. Or we're going to start doing the things that we know God says, this is what you are to do. And then by Thursday, we feel defeated. We feel hurt. We feel like we've lost, because that thing that we vowed today that I'm not going to do that, we've actually done it. and we begin to feel the guilt and the weight of it, and we begin to wonder, God, do you love me? Do you care for me? And this is what I've done to you. This is what I've done against you. What do I do with that? What do I do with the resolution of wanting to read the Bible more and pray more and not sin? What do I do when those things don't happen? I don't know if you're anything like me, and in a lot of ways I hope not, but it's something that I go through in my mind all the time. Of God, what do I do? I've tried to stop this thing, and it seems to have victory over me, and so sometimes I just feel like I must try harder, only to find that I can't in my own strength. And so this morning I want us to come to this passage and see the hope that we have in it. Hope for people like me and probably like you who follow Jesus and yet still struggle. And to think what might be different in the year to come, I want to suggest to you something that sounds a bit strange, maybe a bit odd. I told some of my family this earlier this weekend. Said, here's what I'm going to be preaching on. And they said, Dad, that doesn't make sense. And so, but I hope that it makes sense. And here's what I want us to think about. Stay the same so that we change. Stay the same so that we change. And you might think, your kids were right. You don't make any sense. But let's look at the passage. Look at verse 6. Paul has been speaking to this church, a church in a city called Colossae, and he has been talking to them about their faith in Jesus. He has been telling them about growing in Christ and what that looks like. And so here's what he says to them. As he has talked earlier about how he has struggled for them, how he prays for them, how he wants them to be mature in their faith, he says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Just as you received Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. That's the part where I say, stay the same. In the way that we came to know Jesus, remain in that. How did we come to know Jesus? As we think about that question, maybe for some of us, it kind of happened in different ways, but we can often think about some of the same characteristics that were there of how did we come to know Jesus. At some point and in some way, we were convicted or convinced that there is a God and that we are His creation and that we have sinned against Him. Now, we might not have called it sin at that moment, but we might have seen and began to understand in our own minds that this thing that the Bible calls sin has caused a separation between God and us. And we became convinced that we're, for lack of a better term, we're messed up. We're sinful. We're broken. And we need someone to save us. And we heard about Jesus, someone who came to this earth, who lived a perfect life in our place, and then took the punishment that we deserve, the wrath of God was poured out on him, instead of on us. And we came in some way to believe that. And so we might have prayed a prayer with someone where we asked Jesus to come into our heart. We might have said, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus died to save me. The elements of that are that we repented of our sin. We believed in Jesus. We received His forgiveness. And what Paul is saying to us is, don't lose that. Don't move on from that. In the same way that you came to receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Keep going with that. Keep repenting. Keep believing in the gospel of Jesus. And keep fighting that sin that so easily entangles us. A lot of us, myself included, at times we can think that the gospel of Jesus, those words that I've just described and what Paul is actually going to describe in verses 13 through 15, that we were dead in our sins, but now we are alive because of Christ, and that we come to believe through faith. That good news, that's the gospel. We may have heard that word before. That's simply what it means, is good news for us, that there is a way back to God. We think that sometimes that the gospel is the way just to get into heaven, but once we get there, once we believe that, now it's all up to us. It's like coming into this room. The gospel is what gets us to the door, but if we want to come up front, now it's all up to us, and so I better work harder. I better stop this, I better stop that, and we feel, even we get halfway into the room or a few steps, I feel defeated because I haven't been able to do that. What do we do with it? Paul says, do with it the same thing that you have always done when you first believed. You run with it to Jesus, and you confess your sin, you lay your sin at the foot of the cross, and you receive that forgiveness. And so what do we do as we think about a new year and what we might say, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to change? I think Paul would say to us, and God would say to us, stay the same. If you're a believer in Jesus that's here this morning, keep believing in Jesus. Keep going to Him when you see your sin, when you feel broken, when you feel defeated. That's not the time to run away from the everlasting arms. That's the time to run to them. We don't change once we come into the kingdom. It's not the gospel and my works or and my getting it right. It's the gospel of Jesus and nothing else. That's how we grow as we mature in Christ, as we go to Him more and more. The second part of this verse, or the next part of this verse, Paul says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. What is the word root? What do roots do? They bring nourishment to the plant. They bring nourishment to the tree, perhaps, or the flower, whatever it is. What Paul is saying is that the gospel roots us into Jesus. It's what nourishes us. It's the same thing that Jesus is going to say in the Gospel of John that we've looked at the Free Church over the last few months as we've gone through the Gospel of John together in our morning services, where Jesus says, look, as He's telling His disciples, I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in Me, and I'll remain in you. Remain in Me, and you will bear much fruit. Jesus is saying that same image that Paul is giving the church in Colossae, and he's giving to us as well, of saying, remain in Me, be rooted, get your life, get your nourishment from Me, as the roots go into the message of the gospel of Jesus, as the roots get rooted in Him. Our nourishment comes from Him, not from our own efforts, but from what He has done. We had as you've probably been able to tell by now, hopefully, I'm not from this country. In America, we had a house, and outside of our house, before we ever bought it, the people loved planting plants. So we had like an instant garden as soon as we bought the house. And one of the plants is called a hydrangea, and it was huge. It was like this tall and this wide. The neat thing about hydrangeas are the flowers change colors. And so when it didn't rain, and we would go and water the hydrangea from the tap, my friends at the Free Church will laugh at that because I actually said it correctly this time. inside joke, sorry. We water it from the tap, and the flowers would be one color. And then it rained, and the flowers turned a different color. Because of the water that's coming in through the roots, and I don't know all the botany or whatever, biology, whatever it is behind it all, but the different pHs in the water caused the flower to be a different color. And it was remarkable to see. And that happens with us as we're rooted in Jesus. As we get our nourishment from Him, what does that do? It changes who we are. When we get our life from the gospel, it changes who we are. It changes what we do. It changes how we think. It changes everything about us. As Paul will say here later on in this section that we read, you were dead in your sins, but God made you alive. As we tap into that, it brings us life. It's not just that it changes the color, if you will, of the flower of our life. It brings us actually to life. That plant was dead. And as the gospel came in, as you began to be rooted in that, it brought you to life. And it causes us to grow. And so we don't lose Jesus as we grow older in our faith. We actually tap into Him more, rooted and strengthened in the faith. What do roots do? They grow. They provide stability for the plant or for the tree. Maybe you've seen trees that are, you know, hundreds of feet tall and hundreds of years old. And you've seen perhaps that they've fallen in a windstorm or something similar. And you just, have you ever seen the root ball of those? The roots go out hundreds of feet and 10, 20, 30, 40 feet down into the ground. And that provides stability. It provides nourishment for the tree. And I think that's what Paul wants us to get the idea of here, is that our lives are rooted in Jesus, in the message of the gospel, and we dig our lives into that, into who He is, and to who we are, and the fact of what He has done for us, and we grow in that. And it seems so strange, though, that as we grow as believers, we might realize more and more the holiness of God and the sinfulness of ourselves. It's why I think Paul, in one of his last letters to his young preaching protege, Timothy, will say, here's a saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I am the foremost. And this is Paul towards the end of his life. And we scratch our heads and go, are you serious? How can someone who, in human terms, wrote part of the Bible, planted lots of churches, was this pinnacle of what we would look at and say, this is who I should be. How could he, at the end of his life, say, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. I'm the worst sinner that I know. Shouldn't it be the other way? I'm the least sinner in this world. You should do like I do. Does it mean that Paul sinned more? No. It means he realized his own sinfulness. There's a difference. You see, we sin things that we do because we're sinful. We lie and cheat and steal and take on any other sin that you want to, because of what's inside of us. It's simply a symptom of the sin within us. And so when I lie, I go, I shouldn't have lied. I need to stop it. Why did I lie? Maybe it's because I wanted to save my reputation. Maybe it's because I didn't want to face the consequences. Maybe it's because I think more highly of myself than I ought. That's why I lie. Because there's something in me. I'm struggling with a cold for the last few weeks. It's been wonderful. I have symptoms, a runny nose, a cough. I want to just treat the symptoms of it. But there's an underlying cause behind it. And that's sin. And it works itself out in sinfulness. Our sin and our sinfulness. So Paul's saying, look, as I've come to know Jesus more, I've seen who he is. And I've seen who I am, and as I look at my own life, I'm far worse than I ever dared think. But I'm far more loved in Jesus than I ever dared to imagine. As he is rooted and he's strengthened in the gospel of Jesus, as he comes to him this year, if you want to make a resolution, reading God's word every day, it would be a great resolution to have. There's lots of apps, there's different Bibles, you can read through the Bible in a year, lots of different things. But don't just read through the Bible so that you can tick a box. Read through the Bible so that you can see who God is, that you can see who you are, and see how loved we are in Christ Jesus. To see that those things that God has called us to not do or to do, or the things that are deep within our hearts, that those things too have been forgiven. And you say, how do I know that? Look at verse 14, or the end of verse 13. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of its legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away. He nailed it to the cross. He made a public spectacle of those things. And so just as you came, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up. And the last thing, to be strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. To be strengthened in our faith, to be strengthened in seeing how God is faithful, as we've sung this morning as the kids came up and led us as we sung of God's faithfulness over the generations. God is faithful to you and to me, and we might be strengthened in that faith to see the grace of God at work continually in our lives as we get to know him more and more. You see, our resolutions aren't about ourselves. They shouldn't be, because in our own strength we'll fail. And so as we come to a new year, let's look to Jesus. Let's look at him. Let's look to him so that we might be strengthened, that we might be encouraged, that we might be changed. Let's be around Jesus more. As we read his word, as we pray, a strange thing happens when you're around people. Have you ever noticed this? You become like them. Jeremy, the minister at the Free Church, I've found him in the last couple of months. He'll catch himself because he'll say a word that's kind of Americanized. And so he goes, oh, that sounded American. And what I do in those moments is go, yes. Because I'm rubbing off on him. Now, you can be the judge of whether that's good or bad. But being in this culture is rubbing off on me. Because 2 years ago, I would have told my children, one of them, girls, take out the trash to the trash can because it stinks. And now I say, this rubbish is a wee bit dodgy. It needs to go to the bin. And I go, where did that come from? Like, that's not me, but that's us. It's because I've spent time with many of you, and you rub off on me. Wouldn't it be amazing if we spent so much time with Jesus, rooted, strengthened in him, overflowing with thankfulness, remaining the same so that we might change? Remaining in Jesus so that we might become like him, and so that other people, the tens of thousands of people that live around us here in the Eastern Expansion or just in Dunfermline, they might come to know Jesus as well. that this whole community might be changed, that they might come to faith just as many of us have. And so as we look forward to that new year, may that be our hope. May Jesus be our hope as we grow in Him, as we become like Him, and as we seek to make Him known to this city. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we pray that you might help us to look more to you, that we might not leave the good news of the gospel, but might remain in Christ Jesus just as we have received him. Lord, if there's any that are here this morning that don't yet know you, that haven't received you, I pray, Lord, that at least some of the words that we've shared this morning might make some sense to them, that they might come and believe. And for those that do believe in you, Lord, strengthen us, we pray. Strengthen us through your word. Strengthen us through prayer, through fellowship, through simply spending time with Jesus, that we might be rooted and strengthened and become more and more like him. We ask these things for his sake and for his glory and for his honor. In his name we pray. Amen.